Today's shiur is a Masechta Kinim on Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amid Bey, six lines from the top of the Amid, with Perek Gimel Mishneh Vav, which Rav Belsky Shlita, may he have a refuah shleima b'karev, says is the hardest Mishnah in Seder Kachim, and which I found in the Hagdama to the Pirush HaMasechta Kinim called Kan Mufureshes from Hagoin Rav Tzvi, the son of Hagoin Rav Elya Gutmacher Zitzal, the following lashon concerning this Mishnah. Quote, Af she'ein bo elo Mishnah achas, even though the subject matter that we are discussing only is written in this one Mishnah, tzorech eleo yegiya rabba, it is necessary in order to comprehend this Mishnah much effort. Ki perusha kasha ad lemoid, because the explanation of this Mishnah is very difficult. And elsewhere in the same Hagdama, he says concerning our Mishnah, Shehu HaKosha Mikulon, it is the most difficult Mishnayis in all of Masechta Kinim. However, B'siyata Dishmaya, whether it's the hardest Mishnah in Masechta Kinim, or even the hardest Mishnah in Seder Kachim, B'siyata Dishmaya, we will prevail. And the Mishnah begins very simple, and as it progresses, it gets more and more complicated. Let us begin with the simple halachas at the beginning of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ha'isha she'amra, a woman, this is speaking about an aniya, who has to bring, not like an ashira, a keves for an ola, if she's a yoletis, but rather an aniya brings a oif, both for an ola and for a chatas. So this Isha Aniya, she said, Harei olai kein kishe'elet zocher. If the Rabbi Shalalim grants me a zocher, she made a netter that she would bring an additional kein, besides the two birds, the chattas and oila, which she's mechuyif to bring at birth, she would also donate a kein to the Beis HaMikdash. However, this kein, of course, is different than the kein of Chayva, because the Kain Chayva is a Chattas and an Oila. However, the Kain, which is a Nedava, has to be two Oilais, because a Chattas cannot be brought as a Nedava. Yolda Zachar, Hashem granted her wish and she had a Zachar. So Mevi and Shtei Kinim. So the Mishnah tells us that she has to bring two Kinim. Achas L'Nidra, one for her Neder, V'Achas L'Chayvasa, and one for her Chov. In reality, the Chov is always brought first. The first kain that she brings is for the chayva, and then she'll bring the one from the nedava, as we will see in the subsequent halachas in the Mishnah. Nasnasan lekayin, when she gives it over to the kayin, what does the kayin have to do? Hakayin sarach las is gimel preidin milmalon v'achas milmatan. He has to bring from these two kinim, he has to bring three preidin. Preidin throughout Shas is another name for a gozel, for an oaf. He has to bring three birds on top and one at the bottom. Because, as we mentioned, the nedava has to be two olos. The chov is one ola and one chatas. So therefore, the koyin brings from the two kinim three olos lamala and one chatas lamata. But we're speaking here where loyasa kein. He didn't do that. We're also speaking that it's a case where all the kinim were stumim. They had not yet been designated when the kohen received them from this woman. And he did not do what he was supposed to do, because he thought, without asking apparently the woman, he thought that both of the kinim were for chayva. And therefore he thought he has to bring two olos lamala and two chatos lamata. And therefore, he proceeded to do elishtayim ilmalon vishtayim lamatan. He brought two above and two below. Two above the chutta sikra and two below the chutta sikra. V'loy nimlach. And he didn't ask. He didn't ask Bezdin. He didn't ask the woman. He acted on his own. Tzricha lahavi oid preida achas. V'yakrivena mulmalon. So the halacha in this simple first case is that she has to bring one bird as an oila, and it should be brought above the chutta sikra, because one of her karbonis is pasul. One oila that was supposed to be brought lamaila was brought lamata, and therefore she wasn't yotze, and therefore she's still missing one oila, which she has to bring molmala. Says the Mishnah that this halacha is only mimin echa. That's only if all the birds that she was bringing were either torim or b'nei yoina. Either they were pigeons or turtle doves. Then the halacha is that she has to still bring one bird for an oila. Mishnei minin, however, if she brought the two kinim from two separate minim, one kain was from b'nei yoina, and the other kain was from torim. So the halacha is tavi shtayim, that she's mechuyev to be mashlim what she's missing with two birds. So we're speaking about over here where the halacha is, as we stated before, that the first kain is always brought for a chayva. The second kain is brought for a nedava. When we questioned the kayin, which one did he bring first, he didn't remember whether he brought first the tayrim or the b'nei yoina. And he also, by mistake, brought both of them as a chayva, one from each kain lamayla as an oila, and one from each kain lamata as a chatas. And we've already learned that one of the oilas is possible, because it was brought lamata, and it was really a nedava. But now we don't know which one was the nedava, because the kain doesn't remember which one he was makrif second, which kain he was makrif second. Was the Torah second, or was the B'nai Yoina second? And therefore, she now has to bring two. Because if the last ones that the Kohen was makrif for Nedava were the Torah, then she's missing one Torah, which was an Oila brought as a Chatas. So then she has to be mashlim with the Torah. If the last one that the Kohen brought was a Ben Yoina, that was the Nedava. And now she's missing one Oila because it was brought Lamata. So then she has to bring a Ben Yoina. So together, she brings a Torah and a Ben Yoina. Now one can ask, why does she have to bring a Torah and a Ben Yoina? Let her bring one. And whatever the Nedava was, whether it was a Torah or whether it's a Ben Yoina, and she will bring, for example, a Torah, so it will match up with the other Torah that's good, or it'll match up with a Ben Yoina. It doesn't matter, one can ask, to make a pair here. She's missing one. So let her be mashlim either with a Torah or a Ben Yoina. The answer is, because we learned in Perek Beis Mishnah Hey, that Ein Mevin Torim Keneg B'nei Yoina, or B'nei Yoina Keneg Torim, that when you bring a pair, it has to be a pair of the Chatas and Oila, have to be both either from Torim or from B'nei Yoina. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though that Halach in Perek Beis Mishnah Hey, that you have to have the same min, is speaking about by a Chayva, where one's a Chatas and one's an Oila. And according to the Sheet of the Tanakhama, the Chatas is Koyveya. Whatever min was brought for a chatas, now the same min has to be brought for an oila. But here we're not talking about a kain of a chatas and oila. Here we're talking about a kain nedava. A kain nedava, both are oilois. And yet, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that just like we see by a chatas, both birds have to be from the same min. So the same thing here, both birds have to be from the same min. And therefore, since we don't know whether the nedava was a tor or a ben yoina, we have to bring both a tor and a ben yoina to be mashlim that kain that's missing one bird as an oila because it was brought as a chatas. It's not sufficient to bring either a Torah or a Ben Yoina, and say that it will supplement whatever was in the Nedava, whether it was a Torah or a Ben Yoina. No, it has to be a pair, even by a Nedava. If the Torah was in the Nedava, we have to bring a Torah to be Mashlim, the missing Oila. And if the Ben Yoina was a Nedava, we have to bring a Ben Yoina to be Mashlim, the missing Oila's Nedava. Continues the Mishnah, Pirsha Nidra, if at the time that you made a Neder, she explained and said specifically what she wants her neder to come from. She said, Hare Olai Kain of B'nei Yoina, Kishel Zachar. I want to be makriv a Kain of B'nei Yoina if I give birth to a Zachar. Or she said, Hare Olai Kain Torim Kishel Zachar. But then she forgot whether she had donated B'nei Yoina or Torim. And then she brought her Chayva as a Yoledes, and her nedava, which she had contributed, having a zacher, she brought them all from one min. She brought the four birds from one min. For example, all four were b'nei yoina. So really, she should have brought an additional two birds right then for Torim, because perhaps her neder was for Torim. But she gave the kohen these four birds. And again, the kohen was makriv them, two above and two below. So how many is she mechuyev to bring? Tzricha lahavi oid gimel preidin. She has to then be mashlim by bringing three birds. And of course, this halacha, as we just stated, is mimin echad. This halacha is when it's all coming from one min. So therefore, she doesn't remember whether she was making a neder from a tor or a ben yoina, but she brought one min. Let's say she brought all toirim. So now the halacha is she has to bring three. Why? One of them she has to bring because, let's say her neder was from a tor, and now since it was brought lamata, it's an oila that was brought as a chatas and it's possible. So therefore she owes one tor for her nedava. But now she owes another two, because perhaps her neder was for Ben Yoina. And for Ben Yoina, she wasn't Yotze at all by bringing a Torah. Then she has to bring two olos for the Ben Yoina. So that's why the Mishnah states that she has to bring three. But again, this halach is only if the two kinim that she gave to the Koyin were all from one min.
Mishnei minin tavi arba, but if she brought the kant choiva and the kant nedava from two minim, she brought one from tor and she brought the other from ben yoina, then she has to bring to be mashlim. What she's missing, she will have to bring four birds. I think the best way to understand this part of the Mishnah where the case becomes more complicated is to make a chart. But let us see what we're going to include in this chart. We have here a case where it's a suffix whether she made a neder to bring toirim or bnei yoina. We also have a suffix, what did the koyin bring last and what did he bring first? Did he bring first the toir and then the ben yoina? That means the nedav is coming from the ben yoina. Or did he bring first the ben yoina and then the toir? Then the nedav is coming from the toir. We do know, besides the sveikas, that he brought both kinim that the woman gave him, achas lamayla v'achas lamata. He thought that they were both choivas. So he brought from each kain, he brought one bird on top of the chut hasikra and the other below the chut hasikra. And now, if you make a chart, you will see very simply the halacha, why she has to bring four birds. There are three columns. There's the kain choiv, there's the second column, kain nedava, and then we'll call the third column the Nidvasa Isha, what she actually made in the Dava. So there's four possibilities. On the first line, we're going to write under Kain Choiv Tor. Under Kain the Dava, we're going to write Ben Yoina. And under Nidvasa Isha, we're going to write Ben Yoina. The second line, we're going to write under Kain Choiv Tor. Under Kain the Dava, Ben Yoina. And under Nidvasa Isha, we're going to write Tor. The third line, we're going to write under Kain Choiv Ben Yoina. Under Kain Nedava Tor, and under Nidvasa Isha, Tor. And on the fourth line, we're going to write under Kain Choiv Ben Yoina, under Kain Nedava Tor, and under Nidvasa Isha, Ben Yoina. And now, if you look at the chart, everything will become clear. The first line is telling us that the Koyin, possibly, this is one of the four possibilities, he brought the Tor as the Kain Choiv, that's the first one. That means the second one is always the Kain Nedava, that was from the Ben Yoina. And what was the Nedava of the woman? Her Nedava was a Ben Yoina. In this scenario, since the Kohen brought the Nedava Lamailo and Lamato, and he should have only brought both Oilois Lamalo, it comes out that she made a Nedava, a Neder to bring a Kain Nedava of Oilois from Bnei Yoina. The Kohen brought it from Bnei Yoina, but he's missing one because he brought it Lamata. However, in the same case, and this is now the second line, where the Kain Choiv is from Tor, and the Kain Nedava is from Ben Yoina, and her Nedava was from Tor, so now it comes out, by the Kohen bringing as the second Kain from Bnei Yoina, he didn't fulfill her Oilois Nedava at all, and then she's Chayiv to Tor. The third line, we switch. The Kain Choiv is a Ben Yoina, the Kain Nedava is a Tor, and her Nedava was a Tor. In that case, she's only missing one Tor, because it was brought Lamata, and it's possible. And the final case, the final line on the chart, the Kain Chayv is a Ben Yoina. The Kain Nedava, again, is a Tar, like on the third line. And her Nedava now switches, not from Tar, but from Ben Yoina. She made a Nedava from Ben Yoina. The Kain brought the second Kain from Tar. So she wasn't Yoitz at all. Then she's Chayv to Bnei Yoina. So it comes out that on the first line, she's Chayv one Ben Yoina. On the second line, she's Chayv two Tar. On the third line, she's chayv one tar. And on the fourth line, she's chayv two b'nei yoina. Therefore, if she brings four birds, which is two kinim, one kain, which is ben yoina, and one kain, which is tar, she has fulfilled her obligation, whatever the actual result was. Because if she's chayv one ben yoina, she's bringing two ben yoina. If she's chayv one tar, she's bringing two tar. And of course, she'll have to make a tanai. If this tar is coming for my chiyuv, let it be for my chiyuv. And if I have already fulfilled my chiyuv, then it's coming as a nedava. In the case where she brings two tarim, she can make that tanai. So by bringing two tarim and two b'nei yoina, whatever the scenario was, whether she's chayv one ben yoina, she's chayv two ben yoina, she's yaitzu with two ben yoina. By tar, whether she was chayv one tar or two tar, she is mashlim with two tar, and that's why the Mishnah says by bringing four birds, two kinim, one kain tar, one kain ben yoina, she has been mashlim and fulfilled all the possibilities.
You've noticed the pattern of the Mishnah that as we've added another complex detail to the case, she has to bring another bird. We started with a chiyuv of one bird, then two birds, then three birds, then four birds, and now we're up to five birds. What's the case? An added detail, kava nidra, if she was kaveya her neder, what does that mean? Let's see the mefaresh on the left-hand column in the top, pirish, kava nidra imchayvasa, she'amra hare alai kain, and the shita puts in the words, im eled zacher, lahavim imchayvasa. The added detail in this fifth case is that besides that she was mefaresh what her nedava would be, she added a detail that the kain of nedava has to be brought together with the oila of my chayv. Lahaviyam im chayvasi upirsha. She said whether it should come from the Torah or the Bnei Yoina, ve'eni yadas ma pirsha, and she doesn't remember what she was mefarish. Ula korban gadol biyachad ichavna. She was mechavan for one big korban. In other words, when she brings the nedava im eled zachar, she wants those two olos to go together at the same time. When she's yoitza the oila for her chayiv, at the same time she wants to add another two olos for her nedava. Now, she forgot what she was mefarish. So the halacha is, tzricha lahavi oit chamesh preidin. She has to bring another five birds. And this is speaking about mimin echa. This is speaking about where she only gave to the kayin four birds from one min, either tarim or b'nei yoina. So let us now analyze why she has to bring five. The reason is because had she from the outset done it properly, she would have had to bring a total of six birds. She would bring a kain stuma, a chatas, and an oila, and the kain would bring the chatas lamata and the oila lamala. Then she would, in additional, bring another four birds for an oila, because she's mesupik whether it's tor or ben yoina, and therefore she would add those four to the one oila that she has brought for her chayv. That would have been the proper thing to do. She'll add two tirim plus two b'nei yoina, and that will go together with her one chayva. That would have been the correct thing to do. However, she only gave the kayin to begin with four birds, and the kayin brought them both as kinim of chayva. And therefore he brought from each kain one lamala and one lamata. So from those four alone, those initial four from one min, one of them is pasul. So now she has to bring five. And why is that? Because let's say she brought the four from Tairim, so she certainly has to bring two olos from B'nei Yoina, because perhaps she was mefarish B'nei Yoina. But two b'nei yoina wouldn't be enough. She would have to bring one oila from her chayva, because she was kava nidra. She said she's going to bring all the oilas together. So she would have to have
one oif for her oilas chayva. If she, in our case, she brought tayrim, so she would have to have one oif tayr to join the two b'nei yayna, because the chayvan and the dove don't have to be the same kind, but they have to be brought at the same time. So since she's mesupik, that maybe she was mefarish b'nei yayna, and she didn't bring any b'nei yayna, she only brought tayrim, so she has to certainly bring two b'nei yayna, plus a tayr for the oilas chayva, and she starts off with those three. But she also has to bring two tayrim, because since when she brought her initial four tayrim and gave it over to the kohen passed one of them by bringing them lamata, so one of her two tayrim, which were for oilas nedava, were no good. If so, none of them are good, because she was kava nidra that she's going to bring her two nedava with her one chayv, all as one big korban together. That means all three have to be kosher at the same time. And since one is puzzle, so it comes out that the two nedava that she's bringing from Tayrim are also worthless. So she has to bring another two tayr, plus the one tayr for the chayva. Now here, she has two b'nei yayna, two tayr for the nedava, plus one tayr for chayva. And that one tayr for chayva will be good with whatever she was really mefarish. If she was mefarish tayr, she has two tayrim with the chayva, and if she was mefarish b'nei yayna, she has two b'nei yayna with the tayr of the chayva. And in this way, by bringing five, she's mashlim what she was missing. In the sixth case, there is another complicating, a new complicating factor, and therefore, following the pattern that we've had, there is going to be an additional bird that is necessary to be brought. And that's why the Mishnah says, Mishnei Minin, if from the original four birds that she gave to the Kayin, she didn't give them all from one species, let's say all Tayrim or all B'nei Yonah, but rather one Cain was from Torim and the other Cain was from B'nei Yonah, and the Kayin doesn't know which one he brought first for her Chayva and which one he brought for Nedava. He, in fact, thought that they were all Chovos, and that's why he brought two of them lamala and two lamata, and therefore one of the olos of her nedava are puzzle because it was brought lamata. So in this case, Mishnei Minin Tavi Sheish, she now will require six birds to be mashlim what she is missing. And why is that? Because it's the same case as before in terms of the olos nedava. One min she didn't bring at all for an oilos nedava. And she doesn't know. She was mefarish, but she doesn't know which one she was mefarish. She was also kaivas. She was kaiveya, that the chov has to be brought together with the nedava. The same case as before. So therefore, of course, four oilos nedava she's going to have to bring. Two of Tayrim and two of B'nei Yayna. Because that, she for sure was not yotze. Either she didn't bring from that min at all, or even if she brought from the min, since the Kayin brought one lamata, then it's going to be puzzle. And if one is puzzle, then the other is puzzle as well, because her neder was to bring them all together. The oilas chayva together with the two birds for the oilas nedava. So therefore, for sure, she has to bring two b'nei yayna and two torim. Now, she also has to bring a ola from a tor and an ola from a ben yona for her chova, because as we've learned at the end of Perik Beis, whatever was brought as a chatas lamata for her chova, that is koveya what has to be brought for her oilas chova. So if her chatas, if the kohen brought the cane of tor first, and the chatas lamata was a tar, then the ola lamala will also have to be a tar. However, if he first took the cane of B'nei Yonah and brought a chatas lamata, then the ola lamala has to be a ben yonah as well. So now, since he doesn't remember which cane he brought first and which one he brought second, it comes out that there is a suffix what the chatas was it a tor or was it a ben yoina? And therefore there's a suffix what the oila had to be, a tor or a ben yoina. Therefore she has to bring both.
So once she brings both a tar and a ben yoina for her oilas chayva, and she brings two bnei yoina and two tarim for her olas nedava, a total of six, she will have been mashlim all that she is missing in this particular circumstance. Our seventh case brings us to the possibility of her bringing, according to the Tanna Kamma, seven birds to be mashlim what she's missing, and according to the Shita of Ben Azde, which we will see on Chaf Yamed Aleph, to eight birds that she has to bring to be mashlim what she is missing. Says the Mishnah, Nisonasan l'kayin. She gave over her two kinim to the kayin. Ve'en yedas ma'anosna, and she doesn't know, she doesn't remember what she gave over. She doesn't remember if she gave over all of them as torim, or all of them, all four of them as b'nei yona, or if she gave one kain of torim and one kain of b'nei yona. And furthermore, v'halach ha-kayin the kayin went v'asa, and he was makriv the korbanos, v'ein yodeya, he does not know, ma'asa, what exactly he did, or according to the Gerus and the Mishnayis, v'ein yodua ma'asa, and it's not known by anyone exactly what this kayin did. In other words, was he makriv these four birds that the woman gave him, all as oilois, lamailo, michutta sikra? Was he makriv of them all as chatois, lamata, from the chutta sikra? Or from each cane, did he bring one lamailo as an oilo, and one of each cane lamata as a chatos? The halacha is, Tzrichel Havi, Oid Preden Arbo Lenidra, Ushtayim Lechevasa, Vechatos Achas. She has to bring more birds to be mashlim what she is missing. And what are those birds? Four for her neder, for her oilis nedava. Two, shtayim l'chayvasa, two for her oilis chayva. And one, chatas. And what is the reason for this? The four for her neder are very simple, because she has many sveikas here that she was not yotze her neder. She doesn't remember what type of birds she was mefarish that she had promised as a nedava. She doesn't remember what she gave the kohen. And it's very possible that the kohen was makriv them lamata michut hasikra, and then she's not yoitza her oilus nedava whatsoever. So therefore, there's no question that she has to bring four for her nedava, two torim and two b'nei yona, but then she has to bring two for her oilus chayva. Because it's possible that she was yotze with the original four, her chatas chayva, that it was brought lamata michut hasikra, and we learned at the end of Perek Beis, according to the Tanna Kamma there, that the chatas is kaveya, what the oila is. So if, for example, the chatas was a tor, then the oila chayva will have to be a tor. If the chatas was a ben yoina, then the oila chayva has to be a ben yoina. So therefore, she has to bring two l'chayvasa, two for the oilas chayva. But here, she has to add a seventh one, because she has to add a chatas. Why does she have to add a chatas? Because it's possible that the kohen, who doesn't remember what he did, l'mailo, l'mata, one of each came l'mailo and one l'mata, he's not sure, so it's possible the woman wasn't yaitzer her chiev of chatas whatsoever. And therefore, she has to bring a new chatas. But she only has to bring one chatas, because this new chatas will be the kaveya. And to supplement the new chatas, she had already committed herself to bring two olos. One of them was a tar, and one of them was a ben yoina, shtayim l'chevasa. So whatever the kayin will bring now as a chatas for this woman, either it's a tar, he has one in the shtayim l'chevasa. If it's a ben yoina, he has one in the shtayim l'chevasa as an oilas chayva. So therefore, with four for the oilus nedava, and two for the oilus chayva, and one chatas, which it will now be kaveya, either the chatas was already kaveya, and to supplement that, we have a new tor or ben yoina as an oila for the chayv, or the chatas is being kaveya now, and we again have a oila from a tor or a ben yoina to supplement that chatas. And therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, one chatas is sufficient, a total of seven karbonis. Continues the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. Ben Azay Yomer Shtei Chatois. Ben Azay disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says that the woman will have to also bring not one chatas but two chatois, because Ben Azay is Lishitosoi, and the Tanakam is Lishitosoi from the end of Perek Beis Mishnah Hei, where the Tanakam said that chatas is always koveya. So therefore, we understood the Tanakam to say that all she has to bring is seven, because either she was yaitzed the chatas before, or she's being yaitzed the chatas now with a new chatas, that's keveya. And as we explained, she already has the two oilus chayva. So whatever the chatas is, if it's a tar, she has a tar as a oilus chayva. If it's a ben yoina the chatas, she has a ben yoina for the chayva of the oilo. However, according to Ben Azai, he holds it's the first korban. And even though somebody should bring really a chatas before an oilo, but he have it if you bring an oilo first, the oilus keveya. So the chatas may be forced to follow the lead of the oila that had been brought first. And if the oila was a tar, then the chatas will be forced to be a tar. If the oila was a ben yoina, then the chatas will be forced to be a ben yoina. The chatas is not able to set the way and have the oilas chayva follow it. Then you would only need seven. But since the chatas has to be a follower, it has to possibly follow the oilo which the woman was already yaitza, and possibly if it was brought lamaila and the oilo was a tar, then the chatas will have to be a tar. The oilo was a ben yoina, the chatas will have to be a ben yoina. And since we don't know, therefore Ben Azay Lishitase says that you're going to have to bring a chatas both from a tar and from a ben yoina, and then you'll have a supplement of the oilas chayva, which is also either a tar or a ben yoina. Whatever the real chatas was, you'll have an oilo, and this is a chatas abal asafik. It won't be able to be eaten. It'll have to be burnt on the mizbeach. But she will be mechuyev, according to Ben Azai, in two chatois, which makes it a total of eight birds. We end off this difficult mesechta with some words of Agarata. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, says Rabbi Yeshua, Zeu she'amru. This is analogous to what people say. In other words, what we have just finished learning, that a woman is giving a cane for a chayva, and she's giving one cane for a nedava, and it turns out that according to the Tanakhama, she has to give seven birds, and according to Ben Azay, she has to give eight birds to be mashalim what she was deficient in. This is analogous to what people say about an ayal, about a ram. Kishu chai, when it's alive, koile echad. It has one voice. It makes sounds with one voice. Ukishu humeis. But when it dies, instead of going to zero, koile shiva. In fact, from this ram, there are seven sounds that come out. Kates that koil shiva. How is the koil seven? Beis karnov, it's two horns. L'shtei chatzaitris. They are now used as two trumpets. And on this toisvis in Divrei HaMaskil, shtei karnov, l'asi shtei chatzaitris, the third toisvis on the Amid, asked from the Gemara Menachas, daf chav ches amid aleph, where the Gemara says over there that the chatzaitris, the trumpets, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash were made of kesef. And Tosis offers two terutzim, and the Mefarish offers a third teretz. Tosis first answers that the chatzotzeris that the Gemara Menachos were speaking about is Bimei Moshe, when they were used for moving through the Midbar, Lamasa Hamachnois, and here we're speaking about the chatzotzeris that were used for the shear when korbanos were brought, as we find in the pasuk where the Torah tells us, "Uskatem bechatzaitzrois ala oloi sechem al zivchi shalmechem," that there was an Indian to sing while the korbanos were brought, accompanied with these chatzaitzrois, and the chatzaitzrois of Moshe for masa, for traveling, when the people should begin traveling, when they should stop traveling, that was made of silver, but the ones that were used by the Leviim to accompany the bringing of korbanos, that was made from a keren of an ayol. And the Mefarish says that the chatzaitzrus of kesef, those were the ones that the kohanim used. And here we're speaking about the ones that the Leviim used, and they were made, again, of keren and of a horn and not of silver. Tosis offers a second teretz that our Gemara is speaking about plain shofaros that are used for Rosh Hashanah, which are made from the keren of an ayol. a ram's horn. And we find, Tosfos brings Makoros, that shofars are referred to as chatzoitzros. And therefore, when the Gemara here says that base carnival shnei chatzoitzros, that's referring to regular shofars used on Rosh Hashanah. It has nothing to do with the chatzoitzros at the time of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan, but it refers to plain shofars of Rosh Hashanah. Shtei shaykov, it's two thigh bones, lishnei halolim. They were used for two flutes. Oiroi, it's skin, litov, for a drum. Meyov, it's samek, linivolim, for lyres. Bnei meyov, the intestines, likinoirois. That was used for harp strings. And here, the Marsha tells us, we already have a comparison to our machlokas here in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Ben Azai. Tanakama said that the woman brings seven birds, and Ben Azai said eight. Says the Marsha, from the harp strings we can see the comparison to this machlokas, because the Gemara in Erechin Yud Gimel on the base tells us that the Kinur at the time of the Beis HaMikdash had in it seven harp strings, whereas La'asid Lavoi there will be eight harp strings. So this already is a mashal to the machlokas between Tanakama and Ben Azai, seven or eight birds, and here we have seven or eight harp strings. The Gemara itself gives another example of how the ram is compared to Ben Azai. The Yesh Oimrim, and some say, Af Tzimroi Lasis Tchelas, the tzemer, the wool of the ayol was made into tchelis, it was made into hard wool, and put on, as the Mefaresh and Tosfos and the Rosh tell us, it was put on the me'il, and when the Kohen Gadol came into the heichal, as Tosfos says, this was derech tznius hoya, shaloi lahachnes el heichal pisum, not to enter, except for Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol would not enter into the Heichal suddenly, so there was a noise from the Pamone Zov, the golden bells, and the Rimone Tcheles, the pieces of Tcheles made out of wool, which were in the form of a pomegranate. And when the metal of the bell knocked together with the hard wool in the form, in the shape of a rimon, then it made a noise. So Memela, we've had already, according to the Tanakhama, seven noises coming out after the isle dies. We had the base karnayim, we had the two shokim, we had the skin, the or, we had may of the stomach, and the b'nei may of the intestines, a total of seven. And now, according to the Yesh Oimrim, if we count the wool of the ram, we have an eighth sound coming out. And according to the Ramban in Chumash, the pamon was not next to the rimon banging against it, but rather it was inside the chalal. The empty space that was inside the pomegranate had in it the pamon, had in it the bell, and that made the noise. However, the Rishonim speak out that the Tanakhama doesn't hold of the Tchelis. Why? Because after all, when you have the wool and the metal of the bell colliding to make the noise, it's not the noise coming out of the hard Tchelis wool, but rather it's coming from the metal. That sound is coming from the metal. And Memela, the Tanakhama doesn't hold that that is an eighth sound coming out of the ram. Or, like Rashi and Chumash, that the pamon itself has in it a clapper that makes the noise, and the male had nothing to do with the tzemer knocking into the pamon. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds that we cannot count the wool of the ayol as one of the noises that comes out of the ayol after its death. And now, for the conclusion of Masech Tekinim and all of Seder Kachim, the Mishnayis end with a brisa. How do we know it's a brisa? The Mefarish and the Rosh bring down from the Gemara and Shabbos of Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We have it here that this brisa is said by Rav Shimon ben Akashia, but in Shabbos it's brought down Tanya, Rav Yishmol, Rav Yossi, Oimer, and he goes on to explain that Ziknei Amoretz, their das becomes confused the older they get, and Ziknei Tamid Chachamim, their mind becomes more settled as they progress. And therefore, from the Lashon of Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, we see it's a brisa, because if it would have been a Mishnah, as the Mefarish points out, it should have said Tnan. And we find, says the Rosh, And the Mefarish, that at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, that's what they say, but in reality it's a mistake. They mean Masechta Saita, after the concluding Mishnah, a Brisa is brought. So too here, we bring a Brisa at the conclusion of the Mishnah. And the purpose of the Brisa is to compare it to what we learned before. Just like by an Ayol, when it's alive, there's only one koil, and when it dies, there are seven or eight kolos. It increases in its ability to project sounds after death as compared to life. So too, Tamid Chachamim, as they get older and they get weaker, their mind, we would think, would become less, and in fact, it becomes greater. The Lashon of the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos is, Talmidei Chachamim, Shebishah Shehem Askinim, when they get older, V'yafsid Gufam, and their body goes to waste, it deteriorates, Tarbe Chachmasim, their wisdom increases, V'yishazek Sichlam, and their mind becomes stronger, V'yosifu Shlemus, and they add in their wholeness as they become older. Let us see the Brisa inside. Rav Shimon ben Akashia Omer, according to our Girsa here in Kenim, Rav Shimon ben Akashia says, Zikne Amoritz calls man Shem Askinim, as long as they get older, the older they get, Daitan Mitrefes Alem, their mind becomes confused, Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, Meisir Sofalin Amonim, Hashem removes speech from those who are capable, the Tam and reasoning of the Zikanim Yikach he will take away. And how do we know this is speaking about Amir Oretz? So the Mefarish says, because three lines from the bottom of the Mefarish, Le'il, it says, Kirchsiv Le'il, Meisir Lave Rashi Amoritz, and in fact, the Masoras Hashas tells us in Ois Dalet that it should be Basrei. This pasuk is not written before the pasuk of Meisir Sofel Nemonim, but actually it's written afterwards. But it's referring to the pasuk of our Mishnah here of our Brisa, Meisir Sofel Nemonim. So there it concludes Meisir Lave Rashi Amoritz. So we see that we're speaking about up until this point about Amoritz. However, when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, Avos Ziknei Torah, the elders of Torah Einan Kein, they are not like the Ziknei Amoritz, the unlearned. Ela Kol Zman Shem Askinim, the older they get, Daitam Is Yashavis Aleim, their mind becomes more settled. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Be Yeshishim, in the aged ones there is Chachma, Va'oyrech Yamim Tevuna, and with the length of days becomes more and more understanding. The Rosh and the Mefarish both say that this pasuk is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. The Lashon of the Rosh is, Hainu Talmidei Chachamim De'ilu Amei Ha'aretz, My Chachma Isbehu. By Amei Ha'aretz, what Chachma applies to them? And therefore, certainly this Pasuk, B'Yishishim Chachma V'Arech Yom Tvuna, is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. The Rosh also says, a few lines above, V'lin Nira Mishum De Masech Dekinim, Par Parois L'Chachma, because Masech Dekinim are seasonings to Chachma through the various mathematical computations, Vitzrichin Yishuv Das, and when you learn Kinim, you have to have a settled mind. Therefore, Maisi La Lahachmas Nisn Hacha. Therefore, the Tana brought this Brisa here at the end of Masechta Kinim, because it speaks about Yishuv Hadas, and the whole Masechta Kinim requires Yishuv Hadas. In the Mishnayos Mevo'aris, I saw written that since Kinim is the end of Seder Kachim, although in the Gemara the printer put it before Tamid and Midos, but really it comes after Tamid and Midos, as we find in Aldam Forsham, for example, in the Sefer Kan Mufereshes, he says explicitly that Kinim is the end of Seder Kachim. And since, says the Mishnayos Mevo'aris, the Seder Kachim is referred to as Chachma, therefore he concludes Seder Kachim with this pasuk, B'Yishishim, Chachma V'Arech Yamim Tevuna. Now, what the Mishnayos Mevo'aris is referring to is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, where the Gemara says on the pasuk, V'Hoya Emunas Itecha, Chaisen Yeshuais, Chachma V'Das, the Gemara there says that these six words refer to the sixth storm of Shas. Emunas, the first word in the pasuk, V'hoya emunas itecha, emunas zeh seder zroyim, itecha, time, zeh seder moyed, chaysen zeh seder nashim, yeshua zeh seder nezikin, chachma zeh seder kachim, das zeh seder taharis. So since kachim is referred to as being chachma, therefore And since Kinim is at the end of Seder Kachim, he completed Seder Kachim, the Chachma of Seder Kachim, with the Pasuk of Yishishim Chachma. The only Pella on the Rush is that the Lashna Rush is Veli Nir Mishum de Mesechta Kinim Parparois L'Chachma. It's seasonings to Chachma, when in fact it was bothering me that the Mishnah at the end of the third paragraph of Pirkei Avos tells us not like that. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma Oimer, Kinen upischei Nida, the halachas of Kinim, and when the Nidus period begins, Hein Hein Gufi halachas. These are the main halachas of the Torah. However, Tkufos, astronomy, the Gematriois, mathematics, or Gematria, the numerical value of words, those are parparois l'chachma, the seasonings of chachma. But Kinin, the Mishnah says, beferish, not like the Rosh. The Mishnah says that that's guf halachas of Torah, it's not the seasonings of Torah. So l'charetz apella, how could the Rosh refer to Mesach the Kinim as being only parparois l'chachma against the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Whoever has a teretz to this kasha, I would appreciate if you could please contact me at my email, grossman@ou.org. As we conclude Mesach the Kinim, and we mentioned that mission in Pirkei Avos, that Kinim Pischei Nida, Hein Hein Gufi Halachas, let us just remark what the Tosfos Yontif does to explain the Kinim, that is Nageya to our Mesach the here, that since this Tana, Rab Shimon ben Akashia, was after the Churban, and the Dinim of Kinim, says the Tosfos Yontif, have no shaychus only to the Zman Habayis, therefore the Tana had to tell us that they too are Gufei Halachas, even at the time when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And the reason is because Halimud is B'makom Avoida, that learning about Hilchus Kinim, it's as if you're doing the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash of Hilchus Kinim, and therefore even Bizman Azer, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, it's considered as if they do have a shaychus to practical halacha. And the Rabbi Elyu Gutmacher, in his Hakdama to his son Sefer, Kan Mufureshes, explains the Tosfos Yontif, and his Lashon is that even though Kinim Yesh Rak Cheshboinos V'Chidudei Seichel, there's only calculations and riddles of the mind that sharpened the mind, and Bizman HaMikdash, there was a purpose in it, because it could be Nagei L'maisa, how many Oilois a woman would be mechuyev to bring, like we saw in our Mishnah here, 7 or 8 it's possible. And even though when there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Korban of the Oifois, and all these mathematical computations are for naught, that's what the Tana is telling you, that Hein Hein Gufei Halachas. May we be zoiche to have the Binyan Bayis Shlishi Meharav Yameinu, where these calculations, these Chidudei Seichel, these Cheshboinis that Rav Elyu Gutmacher speaks about, will be Nagei L'maisa with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, B'Meharav Yameinu. For all those who have completed this difficult Mesechta of Mesechta Kinim, Hadron Allah Bamedvorm Uslikalam Sahtakinim, Hadron Allah Bamedvorm Uslikalam Sahtakinim, Hadron Allah Bamedvorim Uslikalam Sahtakinim. We are now ready to begin Mesechta Tamid, which the way the Gemara is set up is the second last Mesechta in Seder Kachim, followed by Midos, which is the last Mesechta. We mentioned, of course, that in the Mishnayos, Kinim is the last Mesechta of Seder Kachim. And both Tamid and Midos are an account of the regular daily procedure in the Beis HaMikdash and the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Doiris HaRishonim wants to suggest that we find very often in the Mishnayos of Tamid that it speaks in the past what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash, because in fact the Tanah or Tanoim who wrote Mesechta Tamid were recollecting what they had experienced, but it was no longer, and therefore they spoke in the past tense. The Mesechta Tamid speaks about the Hakrava of the Oilas HaTamid, which was a Korban Sibber, a communal offering. It was brought twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. It was a lamb that was offered as an Oila, and it was the first Korban that was brought each morning, and it was the last one that was sacrificed each afternoon after all the other Korbanos had been brought. And really the main emphasis and the main focus of Masechta Tamid is concerning the Korban HaTamid. However, the Tanna already expanded and first shows the entire daily routine in the Beis HaMikdash, beginning when the Kohanim, as we'll see in our Mishnah, when they went to bed, and guarding the Beis HaMikdash, going to the mikveh before the hakrav of the tamid, the daily routine of the Kohanim, from dawn in the morning until the offering of the afternoon tamid. A very unique thing in Masechta Tamid is that it's the only Masechta in Shas Bavli where some of the prakim have Gemara, such as our first parak here, and there are other prakim in Masechta Tamid which do not have any Gemara. And to have that all in one Masechta is something unique about Masechta's Tamid. As we turn to Daf, Chaf Hamid Beis, to begin Masechta Tamid, the Mefarish gives us a short akdama. Let's learn it together. Says the Mefarish on the right-hand column, Mishum deboi liruye b'maise de tamid avoidus kahanim, since he wants to tell us in the maise, in the workings of the tamid, the work of the avoda of the kahanim, nakat chila shmirasan, so first he's going to discuss those areas where the kahanim guarded, umakam shrivasam, where they slept, ad shu mesader kol haseder, shebetchila toivlin v'chulu, until he goes through the whole order of the day, what the Kohanim used to do, they used to go to the mikveh, etc. Kasher hu mesuder b'mishnah, as we're going to find it enumerated in our Mishnah. So that's the, even though our main topic, as we said, is the Tamid, but we're going to go through different inyanim, nageya to the Kohanim who did the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah begins, b'shloishim ekaimis ha-Kohanim shomrim b'Beis HaMikdash. There were three places where the Kohanim guarded in the Beis HaMikdash. There were actually 24 places which were guarded. However, the other 21 were guarded by the Leviim. Our Mishnah is only speaking about the three places that the Kohanim guarded. What is the inyan of guarding the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rush tells us that it's a gzeir sakasiv, as the pasuk says, v'shamru mishmeres oyel moyed, that they should guard the guarding of the oyel moyed, of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rush says it's not because there was a chshash of geneva that someone would steal something from the Beis HaMikdash, because ein anis b'makam ashiris, meaning that in a place of wealth, we don't worry about a pickpocket taking something, and for that we wouldn't have guards located in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mefarish says, he adds, that even if someone would steal a small item, the Beis HaMikdash would right away replace that item. What about large items that could be stolen? On this too, there was no chashash geneva, the Mefarshim explained. The Beis HaMikdash was locked at night when such geneva could take place. There were also Kohanim who were busy a whole night burning the korbanos that had been brought that day. So there was not really a chashash that people would break into the Beis HaMikdash and steal large objects. The Rush also says that the inyan of guards we find concerning the Beis HaMikdash in Sefer Melachim Beis, in the days of Yehoyada, where the pasuk says there, Ushmartem es mishmeres habayis misach, that Klal Yisrael was commanded to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash would be protected from sach, meaning from inattention. As the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira tells us, there's no comparison between a place that has guards to a place that doesn't have guards. A place that has guards, people respect much more, and they're more attentive to that place than an area that has no guards. The Bir Agra says that the inyan of Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash would be so that a Tomei would not enter into the Beis HaMikdash when he was not allowed to. However, for that, it would have been sufficient to have perhaps one guard, especially at night when the Beis HaMikdash was locked. So the fact that there were more guards by day and by night indicates that there are other reasons for the Shmira, as we've explained from the Gzeiras HaKosev and from the Rishonim, who tell us of the importance of giving the correct kavod to the Beis HaMikdash through the guards that were stationed there. There is, in fact, a Machlokes Rishonim whether this mitzvah of Shmira of the Beis HaMikdash was in the day and at night, or it was Dafke at night. What were the three places that the Kohanim were Shomer? And we're going to go with the Girsa of the Shita in Ois Aleph, Bivais Avtinis, he adds a base, in the base of Tinus, which we'll soon explain, Bibes Hanitzus, in the chamber of the Ray, and we'll soon explain that as well. And u bebeis hamoked, and in the hall of fire. Now, what were these three places? So the Beis Aftinas was named after the head of the mishpacha, who was a baki. The whole family was a baki in making the ketores, or making incense, and they knew how to make the oshan, the cloud of smoke that came out of the ketores, how to make it go straight up. The Gemara in Yom HaSafek, whether Beis Aftinas was in the south of the Beis HaMikdash and the Lishkas Parhedrin was in the north, or just the opposite. The Beis HaNitzitz was a chamber of array that refers to, says the Rush, to the fact that it was closed on three sides and it was open on the fourth side. Even though the Mefarish here says, Loi shamati boitam loma nikrakein, I don't know why this chamber is known as Beis HaNitzitz, but the Rush tells us because there was a lot of sunshine on that fourth unwalled area of the Beis HaNitzitz. And finally, we come to the Beis HaMoked, which is a hall of fire. The Rach in Yuma tells us that from there they would take Eish Hedget, fire that was coming from the plain people for the Mizbeach, even though the Eish came down min HaShemayim, but there was still a mitzvah to bring Eish from the Hedget. And that's where they would get that fire for the Mizbeach from the Beis HaMoked. However, Rashi in Zvachim and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph says that the Kohanim used to go barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Ritzvah, on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara learns out that just like when a Kohen holds a klisharis, there cannot be any chatzitza, any separation and division between the hand of the kohen and the keli, which is mekadesh, everything that's in the keli. So too, there cannot be any separation between the kohen and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, which also had kedusha. And that's why they would go barefoot. And since they went barefoot, they would warm themselves up next to the fire of the Beis HaMoked. So the Rach speaks about the fire that from there they took it for Eish HaMizbeach, and Rashi stresses that that's where the Kohanim warmed up when they went barefoot on the Ritzpah, on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Mishnah, Beveis Aftinus, Beveis HaNitzitz Hoyo Aliyos. The way we have the Girsa in our Mishnah, in the Beis Aftinos and the Beis HaNitzitz, there were upper chambers that were not on the ground level. However, the Rambam's Girsa is not Beis Aftinos, but rather Beis Aftinos, U Beis HaNitzitz Hoyu Aliyos. That the Beis Aftinos and Beis HaNitzitz did not have a lower chamber, but rather the entire chamber was upstairs. The difference between our Girsa and the Rambam is, according to the Rambam, the Beis Aftinos and the Beis HaNitzitz was only Lamaila and not Lamata. Whereas, according to our Girsa, yes, there was a chamber Lamata, but they also, the Beis Aftinos and the Beis HaNitzitz, also had Aliyos. What was the purpose of having them on a second story? So the Mefarish explains that by the Levium we find that they are called Shoyarim, that they had to do with the gates that were down on the ground. Their shmira of their 21 different locations was Lamata, near the gates, and that's why they were known as Shoyarim. But the Kohanim, their shmira was Lamaila, says the Mefarish, Kiderech Shomer Ha'ir. Just like guards of a city are not at ground level, they guard from a higher elevation, so too the Kohanim were guarding from on high. And he adds the Mefarsh that anyone who was a guard for the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's in the daytime or at nighttime, they did not sleep. Others say that the reason they did it upstairs was to enable them to sit down. Because in the Azora, we know there's a rule, Ein Yeshiva Ela L'Malchi Beis David Levat. In the Azora, the only ones who are allowed to sit are the kings of Beis David. And therefore, a Kohen who would be on guard, if he would be on ground level, would not be able to sit down. But the Gagin, the rooftops, and the upper chambers, the Aliyos, Loi Niskachu, they did not have the Kedusha of the Azara, and therefore, the Kohanim guarding there would be able to sit down. And that's why they were done on an upper floor. However, the Ravid disagrees with this, and the Ravid proves that the Aliyos did have a Kedusha. The only reason they were done Lamaila is so to remove the traffic from the lower ground level of the Beis HaMikdash, that they shouldn't have so many lishkoi, so many chambers there with a lot of traffic in order to minimize the amount of people that were on the ground level. They brought people upstairs in these upper chambers. The question is, according to the rabbi, how were the kohanim allowed to sit? And he answers that the only time it's usur to sit, and only Malchi Beis David can sit, is when the work that you're doing does not usually involve sitting. But if the work that you do involves sitting, then you were allowed to sit during that work. And therefore, the guarding, which could take place also by sitting down, was, according to the rabbi, permitted, even though the aliyah had a kedusha.
Continues the Mishnah, Haroivim Shaimrim Sham. The Roivim used to guard there in the base of Tinus and the base of Nitzitz. What are Roivim? Roivim comes from the word Ravia, which means a youngster. How old was this youngster? There's a machlokas when a koyin is chayav to do the avod in the base of Megdish, when he's bar mitzvah or when he's 20 years old. So some say that a koyin is already chayav to do avodah when he is 13 years old. And these roivim, these youngsters, were less than 13 years old. So they don't have any avodah because they're not bar mitzvah yet. And therefore, to them was given shmirah. The klal is that whoever had shmirah didn't have avodah, and whoever had avodah didn't have shmirah. The only problem is that the Be'er Shev and the Mishnah Melech ask that it comes out that the mitzvah, as we said before, from the Rosh, the Pasuk, Veshamru Mishmeres Oil Moed, is being given over to people who are not chayav in mitzvahs, to under bar mitzvah. And therefore, the Be'er Shev and the Mishnah Melech learn, like the Rambam, that the avodah of kohuna started at 20, and they weren't given the mitzvah shimur, whereas under 20, but over bar mitzvah, those are the roivim, and they were given the mitzvah of shmirah, and they were not given avoida. There is a machloikis when it comes to the base hamaikid, because here it says haroivim shaimrim sham, referring to the base of tinus and the base hanitzitz. What about the base hamaikid? So some say the roivim did the shmir there also. However, others say that, as we're going to see further in the Mishnah, in the Beis HaMoikis, there were the Pirchei Kohuna. These were the young adult Kohanim. So they used to do the Shmira in the Beis HaMoikid. They were older than the Roivim. Beis HaMoikid Kippa. The Beis HaMoikid had a dome. There's a Machlokas whether, as we're going to see, the Kohanim slept in the Beis HaMoikid, whether they slept underneath the dome, or that the structure of the Beis HaMoikid was built on top of the dome. And that is where the Kohanim slept. Continues the Mishnah. Ubayis Gadol Hoya. Both the Bach in Ois Aleph and the Sheet in Ois Gimel take out the hay from HaGadol. Ubayis Gadol Hoya. This Beis HaMoikid was a large structure. Mukav Roivdim Shel Evan. It was encircled with ledges of stone that were built into the walls, and Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham, the elders of the Beis Av used to sleep there. There's a machloikas whether they actually slept on the ledges or whether the ledges enabled them to climb up, but then they actually slept on niches in the wall that were carved out in the wall next to the ledges, but they didn't sleep on the ledges themselves. That is a machloikas. When it speaks about the Ziknei Beis Av, we know that the Kohanim were divided up into Chof Dalet Mishmoyreis, that there were 24 groups of Kohanim that had a job to take care of the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week. That was their turn. And each Mishmor was divided up to various Batei Av, various families that used to work on one day of each week assigned to their Mishmor. So the Ziknei Beis Av refers to the Zikanim of those families that were part of the Mishmor of that week. They were sleeping there, and whether they slept on the ledges or in the niches, as we explained before, but it was always outside, not Niskadesh, as part of the Azara. Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham Umafteches Hazor B'Yadav. They had the keys of the Zor in their hand, in their hands. When it says they had it in their hands, it doesn't mean literally, because actually we're told that the keys were hidden under a tile in the middle of the chamber, but it means it was under their jurisdiction. Pirchei Kohona. This refers to the young adult Kohanim. They were called Pirchei
because they did everything with tremendous rizus, like they were flying like a bird. Oif ha-poreach. So the Pirchei Kona, ish kisasai bo'aretz. He had his pillow on the ground, and he would sleep on the ground. There's a machlokes whether this refers to all Pirchei Kona, that they were not zocha like the Ziknei Beis Av to sleep on the roved or on the niche next to the roved. They had to all sleep on the adama with the pillow under their head. Or is this going on the Pirchei Kona, who, as we said, there are some shitas that hold that the roivim did not guard the Beis Hamoiked, but rather it was the Pirchei Kona who guarded. So those the Pirchei Kona who guarded the Beis Hamoiked, they were the ones who slept on the floor, and as they took turns, somebody was always up, but they would take turns sleeping. When they slept, they would sleep on the floor. And the Mishnah continues, Loi ha-yishen be-bigdei kodesh, they did not sleep in the holy begotim that they did the avoida in, ela ha-yapoishtin, and according to the Bach in Oisbeis, u-mekaplin, they used to take off and fold these big day kodesh, umenichem oisam tachas rishem, they would put them under their heads. In the Gemara, there's a discussion whether it's literally under or whether it means next to their heads. Umiskasim b'ksus atzman, and then they would cover themselves with their own personal non-kodesh dike beged. They would sleep in the big day chulin and not in the big day kodesh.